This is the 60th class that we have taught so far from the Book of Acts, Greek Reading and Research by Induction. And when we study any book in the New Testament, Greek Reading and Research, the reason for it actually is to learn what the Bible says. Do you believe the Bible? That's one thing. And if you... Yeah, I know you do. And if you believe the Bible, will you accept what the Bible says instead of what you believe sometimes? That's the big problem today. Yeah. That's hard sometimes. We have to accept what the Bible teaches about things, about the practices of the world. Now, there's a lot of groups out in the world that call themselves Christian groups. Some are not Christian at all. Some of them hide Christ so well that you don't see Him in all reality in their services. Now, I wrote my doctor's thesis, not doctor's thesis, but my master's thesis and my bachelor's thesis, on what was called the near cult. I did, recently, in the last few months, I did 19 messages on the book, The Near Cult, and the Origin and Practices of the Charismatic Movement. Now, people sometimes say you're dividing Christianity. Actually, Christendom divided itself. We know, as we study church history, and I could put the church history chart up here behind me, we can see the evolution of theology. When you study church history in any college or university, or most of the time even high school, if you even study it, American history is becoming a thing of the past because people don't want to remember American history, but it's very important. And in American history, you can study the history of the cults, and you can study the history of Christendom. Now, I want to say this, that Christendom and Christianity are not the same. Catholicism completely divorces Jesus Christ from their theology. What? They believe in Christ? Yeah, oh yeah, they believe in the baby Jesus. And they believe in Christ that's on the cross always. But that's not what the Bible teaches. They invented the doctrine of absolution, the forgiveness of sins by a priest. They invented the doctrine of what we call confession, the doctrine of purgatory, the doctrine of Mariolatry. In Catholicism, Mary takes the complete place of Jesus Christ. You pray to Mary, you do not pray in Jesus' name. You pray in Mary's name. This is all blasphemy, people. It's blasphemy. Not only is it blasphemy, but it keeps people from being saved. We have the Jehovah's Witnesses that teach that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. We have Seventh-day Adventists that want to keep the law again, and I think some of them may be saved. I've known Seventh-day Adventists, I believe, that are absolutely saved. But the Seventh-day Adventist is a recreation of Judaism. They want to worship the Lord on Saturday, which is fine. The early church worshiped the Lord on every day. And Paul went to the synagogues on Saturday, and he preached Jesus Christ, and it got him killed twice, basically. He died one time by stoning, and died the second time by beheading. He was stoned, beaten, imprisoned, and that's where we are in the Acts, the 16th chapter. When we begin our next message, is Acts, the 16th verse, or 16th chapter, verse number 24. Paul's in prison. for preaching Christ in a synagogue. You have all kinds of isms out there. Now, sometimes the most dangerous thing is that which is closest to the truth. Sometimes the most dangerous beliefs are that which is closest to the truth. We have a site on YouTube, Discover the Word with Dr. Jim. We have a Discover the Word with Dr. Jim website. We have a discovertheword.com website. And we have a Discover the Word with Dr. Jim website on Sermon Audio, which has nearly 8,000 messages on it. I did 19 messages on the charismatic cult, the origin of the charismatic cult, where it came from. And the last message I taught here is the origin of talking in tongues. The modern idea of talking in tongues is not in the Bible at all. Only in paganism in the Bible. We went back to 1 Kings. We went to Samuel. We went to Deuteronomy, and we discovered that the pagan religions talked in tongues. Tongues that very few could understand. It was called an unknown tongue. The word unknown tongue in the Bible is not there. It's in the King James Bible, but it's not really there at all. The gift of languages in the Bible was you able to go to, a person was able to go into an area where you did not know their language at all, and automatically, when you spoke in their language. What happened in the second chapter of the book of Acts, in that great miracle on the day of Pentecost, and this is where we get our word Pentecostal, we got your assembly of gods, you've got all types of beliefs in Pentecostalism, but one thing they have in common, and that is talking in tongues and prophesying. Now, we have the Bible. Do we believe the Bible? Is the Bible the Word of God? Almost all these people will say, oh yeah, the Bible is the Word of God. But they are not satisfied with the Bible as the Word of God. Catholicism has continuous revelation. The Pope is the apostle of God, according to them, and any new revelation that he has is real. It is more valid than the Bible itself. The Catholic Church tried to destroy all the Bibles. You have to realize, at one time in church history, that the Catholic Church wanted to destroy all the Bibles in the original language, where it was written in Greek and in Hebrew. They denounced anyone that interpreted the Bible differently than they did. Their interpretations of the Bible were not correct. When you study the Bible, you do just the Bible just like any other book. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? And what's the subject? In school, in English, and in history, I taught who, what, where, when, and why. That's the interpretation of all things. Who's speaking? What's the subject? And when? When was he speaking? If you believe the Bible to be the Word of God, which I do, I believe the Bible to be the Word of God in tense, mode, and voice in the original languages. The Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in Greek and Hebrew and Chaldee and Aramaic in some places. You believe that the Bible is the complete Word of God, then continuous revelation is not valid, because the Bible says that you're not going to add to the Bible. Anyone adds to the Bible, damnation is added to him. Anytime you have prophecies today or speaking in tongues today, which is prophecy, so-called, you have or you are in direct violation of Scripture. If you believe the Word of God to be valid and true, then you will accept the Word of God as God's final answer on everything. In Acts 16, chapter verse 16, we have a damsel in distress right here. A damsel in distress. And this girl, this young girl, was a slave. From 16, for the next few verses, this girl was a slave. And her slave owners used her to make money. Now, she wasn't a prostitute. She wasn't a washerwoman or something like that. But she was demon possessed. Now, we know that the prophets of Baal were demon possessed in the Old Testament. We know that evil spirits came upon prophets of old. We know that sometimes God even uses evil spirits to bring about his unpreventable progress and his purpose. But if we have the Word of God, and if it's incomplete, and I believe it is, and most basic conservative biblical scholars believe it is, by the way, I don't know if there was ever a Pentecostal preacher or a charismatic person that was ever really considered a real scholar. One of the reasons why is because they have a lesser view of the Bible. They have a diminutive view of the Word of God because there's more here we have right now. I know many charismatic people. I was saved in a charismatic church in spite of it. That's a weird saying. I was saved in a charismatic church in spite of it. Because they were talking in tongues. They gave me a Bible for my birthday, and my grandmother had just been killed. This was 1961. And I read the whole thing. And I was on conviction by reading the Word of God, not by going to church, because I didn't get that in church. They were too excited about talking in tongues and prophesying and all of this. And bragging on how they didn't sin for the last 10 or 20 years. I was under conviction of the Holy Spirit and of His Word, and I went forward to the altar. Nobody was there. The preachers didn't pay any attention to me. The deacons didn't pay any attention to me. I just went down there because I believed that I needed to find Jesus Christ as my Savior. My ex-grandmother, Mrs. Brown, followed me down there and held my hand and talked with me and told me how to be saved. And I was saved. That moment with her, I know one of the first people when I go to heaven and I see is going to be Mrs. Brown, my grandmother. Because she opened the door to me there. She told me how. I would never have found it out in that church. They didn't preach salvation by grace at all. And that's the problem. You go into these churches and they don't preach Jesus Christ. They preach the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues, according to them, is a confirmation that you've been saved. One of my students, Pamela, she was a little black girl that I just loved. She was in my Greek and Hebrew classes, and finally one day, and she had been in charismatic churches for a long time. She came out of the Catholic Church. Many Catholics are charismatic. Muslims are charismatic. There are Mormons that are charismatic. There are Buddhists that are charismatic. Crossing all lines. How do you cross all these lines with a different Jesus and a different plan of salvation? This little damsel in distress here in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts kept following Paul and telling him, these men are prophets of God. They tell you the way of salvation. And many people say a way of salvation. There is no a way of salvation. This is the way of salvation. Paul finally turned around against her and he rebuked that evil spirit and he said, depart from her. And then he got in trouble. Because she could no longer tell fortunes. People in charismatic churches believe they have the gift of prophecy and the tongues, and they have interpreters of the tongues. In the Bible, it was a whole different story. Languages were a known spoken language with a glossary and a dictionary and a grammar. If somebody got up and spoke in a church in a language that no one knew that were there, there had to be an interpreter before he could speak. It was a real language. He had to be a person that really understood that. I have spoken in several Hispanic churches. And in some of those churches, there are people there that did not understand English at all. So I had to speak slowly, and I had to have an interpreter. That's the biblical way of speaking in languages and interpreting them. Paul could go to any country. Now, Paul knew several languages anyway. But Paul could go to any country in Africa or wherever he was going to go. He could have gone to India. And he could have spoken that native dialect, very dialect, by the inspiration of God. It wasn't some gibberish. It was a real language. I've gone in these churches. My stepfather, Dusty Rhodes, was raised in a charismatic church. He would never be saved. He would never ask the Lord to forgive him of his sins and save his soul because he was afraid he'd do something wrong and forever lose his salvation because he'd been taught that in these churches. Those churches kept that man from being saved till he was 75 years old. Kept him from salvation. He was dying of lung cancer. He only had one lung. He had to take one out because of valley fever. And it was killing him when they had to take his ribs out on one side and the lung out and scraped him all inside where that diseased lung was. And he had smoked 5 packs of cigarettes every day of his life almost. And the cigarettes, even though he had quit smoking for 20 years, he still got lung cancer caused by tobacco. And he started going to church by himself. He went to charismatic church. He went to one after another, one after another, one after another. Asking them to heal him. He didn't want to be saved because he's still afraid of being saved. Because the tenets of that understanding of salvation in some of these churches is that if you're saved, you have to completely be immaculate from sin or else you will lose your salvation. And what he had been taught in the charismatic church is that if you ever lost your salvation, you could never be saved again, according to the book of Hebrews, which is out of context. He went in there, and very little preaching was going on. And he'd go down to the altar, and every one of them, and they'd pray for him. He went away dying of cancer every time. Finally, he got so ill, he said, Jimmy, he said, please take me to church. Will you take me to church? Will you take me to church in Taft? Will you take me to church over here? Will you take me to church over there? And I took him to every one of those churches. And every one of them, he'd go down for prayer for healing. I went down to the altar with him one time in a little church out on Rosedale Highway, a little Pentecostal church. I knew the pastor. I knew the people there. I'd known them for all of my life because I was in that group when I was young. And I knew the leaders and the children of the leaders, etc. I went down with him and I told him, Dad, I don't think they're ever going to heal you, but I don't want you to discourage you from trying to seek healing from God, literally, because God could do it if you wanted to. But I said, I know what God wants in your life, Dad, and I said, He wants you to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and believe that Jesus, He knew that Jesus died on the cross, He knew that Jesus died for His sins, He knew all of this. But He's afraid because He thought that He would lose His salvation, He'd have a bad thought or something, and forever He'd be damned. And he asked the Lord to forgive him and save his soul. And it gave him such joy and happiness. They were blaming me that he wasn't healed in these services because I didn't believe in healing. I believe in healing. But I don't believe in the gift of healing because it's not there. We don't have it today. They had it when the Bible, before the Bible was completed. Paul had it. Peter had it. Jesus, of course, was proving he was Messiah by the gift of healing and power to raise the dead. If these biblical abilities were still there, I'd be out empty in every hospital in the country. But in these churches, many of these churches, they don't preach Jesus. They don't preach Jesus in salvation. It is the gifts, the gifts, the gifts. And they get up and they talk in tongues and they go on. And a lot of people that come there never hear the plan of salvation. Unless they read it in Bill Bright's Four Spiritual Laws or whatever. I know people that go out and they don't preach Jesus Christ died on the cross. They preach the gifts. They preach healing. That's all you hear is healing and tongues. That's all you hear. You don't hear Jesus. It takes away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. If the devil can't keep you out away from his word or wanting to know about God, he'll throw you a curve. A real curve. And the charismatic movement is a curve. I know there are people in the charismatic movement who are saved, many people. But I believe in preaching of the gospel. And that's what we're done. The gift of tongues, the origin of the gift of tongues as practiced today came out of paganism. It didn't come from God. It didn't come out of the Bible. This girl that had this gift of prophecy, when the demon spirit was cast out of her, she no longer had it. It was real. Are there real prophecies in some of these churches? Possibly. Possibly. Many of the charismatic leaders say that their prophecies in the churches are 30 to 50% correct. I can guess better than that. There were charismatic preachers and stuff having prophecies all over that Trump would go ahead and get into the presidency. Well, he didn't. I wish he had because he won it. We have the fake news, the false media. We have everything out there. They're still fighting him to this day. One of the only honest presidents we had in the 21st century, the only honest one we had. He wanted to give the remainder of his life for us to help America become great again. The prophets were wrong. I was right. I hoped that the Republican congressmen and senators would stand up and fight to the death. Because it's very important for the American people. We've been paying them to stand up there and draw big money all the time. Now it's time to fight. They should have never confirmed that election because it was fraud. But I said, the media is so powerful, and the Democratic Party is so powerful, that I don't believe that he'll ever get in there. Well, I was hoping I was wrong, but, you know, that's what happened. Now they're trying to make everybody that believes that there was fraud in the election a criminal of the United States. My cousin, far distant cousin, Rand Paul, I just saw him interviewed on television. George Papadopoulos, or whatever his name is, was trying to tell him that he was wrong. They're trying to say, and he said, I'm going to tell you something, there is election fraud. There is election fraud. Well, it wasn't enough election fraud to win it, and I'm sure it was. President Trump won by a landslide. But the machines were manipulated, people lied. People went all over Nevada up here paying the Indians to vote for Biden. Give them gift certificates. The corruption in this country today and in the Senate and the House of Representatives is unbelievable. I don't know how we're going to turn it around, if it ever can be turned around. But right now, the voting needs to be validated again because we know that there was election fraud here. We need to get it where people believe that the election is valid. We know it wasn't. Belief. People need to believe in Jesus Christ, Him crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, and that He is God's Son, and that is so important in the preaching of our Word. In every message that I preach, I try to relate that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It seems that the charismatic movement is so excited about feeling and excitement. The world in the false religion has always wanted a God they could see and a religion they could feel. Well, I try to make people see Jesus every time I preach. Yes, when you're born again, you do have a confirmation. You have a release of the burden of sin. And you have joy. That's a consolation of that. God deals in our lives with His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not some toy to play with. I went to seminary for 12 years. I earned 2 doctorates. I probably studied more and wrote more on the languages. I've preached nearly 10,000 messages in my 50-year-plus ministry. And there's only one reason I did that, is because I am thankful that Jesus Christ saved my soul. And there's a calling of God that is there. I study the Scriptures, and sometimes God just lightens up my mind. I see something there that I have not seen in any other writer. And I used to ask other scholars, I said, what do you see here? Do you see this? And they said, well, I don't know. I don't know that much about it. I don't know the language. It's nice when you can see things like that. I've written, I've spoken these, John 1:1, John 1:14, John 1:18. These are very beautiful scriptures. Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, the foundation of the Bible. These are beautiful things. I've always tried to find a student that could carry on after I'm gone because I'm old. Just had another birthday. You know, I'm way up there yonder, 3/4 of a century old. I'm glad that I still have some mind left after having 3 strokes and everything else and being poisoned on purpose and all of these things, and God brought me through all of it. See, God can do things. There's a little saying around, I believe in the providence of God. Now that I'm old and wiser, I understand and I thank God for taking care of me when I was young and dumb. And I tell you what, I have to say amen to that 1,000 times. What I put my body through is hardly believable. I should have been killed and dead 1,000 times in my life at least. Been through some horrendous, dangerous things in my life. And I know that God protected me through all of that. My wife lived a horrible life growing up, being abused by her family, and had cancer, and basically she was not treated in many ways, many times. And God gave her a long life. That's a gift, Marilyn. That long life. Mm-hmm. You were elderly when we got married. And God gave you 22 years more of married life, which you wanted all your life, didn't you? You wanted to have babies, you wanted to be married, you wanted to have children, you wanted to have a life. And that was all taken from you. God didn't give you the most perfect husband or the most perfect little girl, but you got some. Along with the heartaches of all of this, too. God watches over each and every one of you. If you're out there in prison, God is watching over you. If you're out in the world and facing a bad boss, if you're driving up and down the road and facing, you go into Bakersfield, California, Los Angeles, you're in danger driving on the road. I had 2 massive wrecks in my life. Both of them I should have been killed. But I'm still here. I was in the Middle East one time dodging bullets over there in 1975 and 76. And I was so, you hear bullets whizzing by you, wing. I mean, a ricochet is a very dangerous thing. And you hear them very close to you. You can hear the bullet going by, the whiz of the bullet. And I asked this Arab doctor over there, he was a doctor, he was a professor, an archaeologist. I said, how in the world do you stand this every day? He said, well, you drive on the freeway in L.A. I said, yeah. Well, he said, it's more people get killed on the freeway than they do over here, but sometimes that's not the truth. Especially as we see so many Christian lives lost in the Middle East by ISIS, etc., by Islam. Yes, we believe in healing. We did believe in the presence of God, but we don't believe in the gift of healing anymore. It's over with, people. The gift of tongues is gone. And people that are imitating this are in the wrong. And if they preach Jesus, amen. That's okay with me. If they preach Jesus, that's real good. And I pray and I thank God for everyone that's saved in those churches. But sometimes it is a diversion away from Jesus. Rand Paul is an ophthalmologist. Rand Paul would still, as far as I know today, tries to stay up. He's a senator of Kentucky. But he works with other ophthalmologists, and they go into countries all over the world, and even in America. And people in America, he finds people that can't afford to have surgery, eye surgery, and he goes and does the surgery for free. He works with teams of doctors, and they do this. They go down in South America. In South America, down around the equator, people go blind with cataracts when they're 20s and 30 years old because of the bright sun. It gives them cataracts, and they lose their sight. And sometimes they go blind very early. Now, we know in the Bible that Jesus healed a man that was blind from his earth, from his mother's womb. Now, we know this to be medical science today. He healed that man's eyes, but the man could not distinguish what he was seeing because his brain had never been trained to see, because he never could see in his life. They can do certain kind of blindness. They can heal a child, but they got to heal them before they're very old. Because if they get up so long, that the brain is so far behind that they'll never learn to see before they can focus, even if their eyes work. Well, this man that was blind, Jesus said, I see men walking around like trees. He didn't know what he see. And so Jesus prayed for him again and healed his brain, his understanding of it. And Rand Paul, in his book, Making a Stand, talks about going down in South America and healing these little children down there of blindness. If they get up past the age of 6 years old, even though they can heal their eyes, they may never be able to see well. They can tell daylight and dark. They can tell images. They can tell when they get to the bank of a river or go over a rock or something, but they can't heal their mind. When Jesus does a job healing somebody, it's done. And that's what we see in the Bible. Let's finish this class. We believe in that God heals, and God heals people today. God could even raise the dead today, as far as that goes, if God does it. But there are no gifts of healing today. There's no gifts of tongues today. There's no gifts of pastors today. That's really weird, isn't it? Because, you know, the gifts in the Bible, all of these gifts, and I named them all in my thesis I had on their cult, these were gifts. You didn't have to study to be a pastor. You didn't have to study to be an evangelist. You were all inspired. Today, if you're going to be a pastor, you better get with it and get you a Bible. Get you a bunch of Bibles, get you a bunch of commentaries, and study the original language and everything you can do to preach God's Word. Marilyn, did you?
Yes, the people today actually talk in tongues. So, does that mean it comes from demons?
Talking in tongues today, as it was in the Bible, is not happening. Talking in tongues today, as described in Acts the 16th chapter and in 1 Kings with the prophet of Baal, this is what's going on out there today. The whole idea and understanding of that is false, and the continuous revelation that they have is contrary to the Bible, because the Bible said there is no more. When the Bible is completed in the book of Corinthians, it said it's going to vanish away. It's going to shut itself off. And we don't have apostles today. We don't have prophets today. What we have is the Bible. If you're not satisfied with the Bible, it's your fault. The Bible is the complete will of God. Completely everything that you need to guide you in your life today. Let's have her for a prayer. Father, we send this message out to glorify you and to tell people about you, about your will, about your word that is so precious to us, that it really is precious, that it is really your holy word, that it is really our complete standard and rule of faith and practice. And Father, please forgive me where I fail you. And Father, I pray also that you use this message all over the world. That sometimes people get caught up in these movements and that they will look to you and look to sound churches that preach the Word of God. And not be mistaken for the excitement, the ecstasy in this movement, but in reality and